Welcome to Talk of the Day in Sports. I'm your host, E-Lock. Thanks for listening. It's been a while since I released an episode. To the followers, I apologize. The good news is I'm back. I have a very exciting show for you guys today. We're going to start out with the craziest thing that I've seen like yesterday in sports. Tom Brady, not knowing what down it was. Wow. When that happened, I was just as confused as the look on his face. Holding up four fingers, was he asking if that was fourth down, or was he saying it's fourth down? For him to be a legend and not know just goes to show how much the structure the Patriots have. The situation, down by a couple points, late in the fourth quarter. Where was he at? I don't really know. All I know is, you know, it was fourth and five. You know, you just need to pick up 4 or 5 yards to get the first down, keep the drive alive. And for him to force the ball down the field like that on two back-to-back passes was a little disheartening. I couldn't believe that Tom Brady didn't realize the situation. I expect more of Tom Brady than that. You know, yeah. It's kind of baffling that he can not know the situation. Do you think he got outplayed by Nick Foles? No, not really. I just think that the Buccaneers just had too many penalties when they were driving. They were in field goal range when they got like 3 penalties in a row. It was one for holding, one for unsportsmanlike conduct. You know, that right there, they was 4th and 35 at one point. You know, that's hard for anybody to overcome, even the great Tom Brady. If you guys want to respond or share your thoughts, even though the show isn't live, you can still do that. Just download the Anchor app. And you can reach me at anchor.fm/Eric Lockhart/message. And you can leave your message. I'm respond to it. I'd love to hear from you. You know, so if you got something you want to share about Tom Brady or any topic you hear on the show, just let me know. I'm going to take a couple minutes here. Let my sponsors jump in real quick. So go ahead, download that Anchor app. If you want to start your own podcast, it's a free app. You know, they give you the tools you need to do your podcast and be successful. You know, it's up to you to put in the time and the work. They also start you out with a sponsor so you can make money with your podcast. You know, the more listeners, the better. All right, be back. Welcome back to Talk of the Day in Sports. It's your boy, E-Lock. A lot's happened in the world of sports since my last episode. I want to talk about the NBA bubble. How do you feel it went? Let me tell you what I think. Hats off to the NBA. Job well done. I was skeptical before, but the bubble actually worked. We seen the Suns go undefeated in the bubble in 8 games. The Blazers overtake Memphis for the 8th seed. How about some of the performances we witnessed in the bubble? Donovan Mitchell scoring 50. Jamal Murray scoring 50. The Denver Nuggets coming back from 3-1 deficits twice. And we've seen a team emerge from the Eastern Conference that we didn't think of. The Miami Heat. Kudos to the Miami Heat. Whether you guys win or not, you guys are champions for even making it that far. Nobody expected you to do that. Game 5 is tonight of the NBA Finals. Miami Heat versus LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers going to be wearing those Mamba jerseys that they undefeated in. They're trying to wrap things up tonight. I think the bubble was successful. I think it was entertaining. Every day you have a couple games to watch. I thought that was nice, you know, every day for the first couple of months at least. It was real nice. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. Who you think gonna win tonight? I think the Lakers gonna wrap it up. I see LeBron and them go ahead and finish it out. Even though I would like to see Miami put on a good show, even win the game. I don't have a team in this fight. I just like to watch good sports, and that's what I'm watching in the bubble. I think that the NBA did it well, really good job with that. So I'm picking the Lakers in five. You know, the Miami Heat, you know, they can only can do so much. They don't have the size to match up with these guys the way they really would like to. But, you know, Jimmy Butler has emerged as a superstar in this league, even though I thought he was a superstar before all that. I'm kind of surprised that he don't shoot a lot more three-pointers than what he does. I could have sworn I've seen Jimmy hit threes before in the past, and for him to only take one in game four, none in game three, is remarkable. He scored 40 points in game three. Triple-double without taking the three-pointer. Huh? Who does that? Haven't seen nothing like that in a long time. I don't think I've ever seen nothing like that. Everybody shoot threes. Even Giannis shoot threes, you know? So, I would like to see him step back and shoot some threes tonight in game five. I think if he can hit a couple threes in game five, that'll open up the floor a little bit more for him. And then he can get back to his mid-range game. Yeah, I mean, that'll help Miami a lot tonight. He had to shoot that ball with confidence from the three-point line. Because then he can dribble, penetrate, dish, whatever he needs to do to keep this series going. And he's gonna need a defensive effort from his whole team. Everybody need to play defense. And which they do, they compete on both ends of the court. Duncan Robinson competes. You know, I would like to see them try to find ways to get him some cleaner looks. Tyler Hero, youngest player in the NBA Finals ever. 20 years old. The guy has game. I've only seen him play in this bubble. I never seen him play before the bubble. And I really didn't start watching him until the Boston series. And then the kid has game. He can do just about anything on the court he wants. He can shoot. He can get to the rack. Finish left hand, right hand. Only thing I didn't see him do yet was dunk. I'm quite sure he can dunk. He's probably about 6'4", 6'6". Tyler Hero. He needs to step up and be the second scorer for them tonight, for them to win. He needs to have a big night. Anything in the 20s would go a long way in helping them. And then, you know, you have your role players. Duncan needs to hit some threes. Kelly Olynyk needs to hit some threes. But he needs to shoot some threes that's more like in a confined offense. To me, I see a lot of forced shots from him. I mean, I know he can shoot. I know he can score. I know he got game. But I just want to see him, like, let the game come to him a little more instead of forcing it. Bam Adebayo, he's got to be that third guy. Or even the second guy. He could be the first guy. You know, he's going to have to play big tonight. I'll have to see him score somewhere like 27, 28 points. Jimmy Butler in his 30s. Tyler Hero in his 20s. Duncan Robinson, 12, 15 points. And what about Kendrick Dunn? Kendrick Dunn can hoop. But I see a lot of forced shots out of him, too. And I think if they can clean up some of that and, you know, let the game come to them a little bit more, those guys can score. They'll get those open shots that they need once Jimmy drives and kicks or hit a couple threes, you know. And then they have to come out a little bit more. Then he can get to the rack, and then that's going to give him the ability to kick out, you know, for some open shooters. And hopefully Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Kelly Olynyk, Kendrick Dunn, hopefully those guys able to capitalize on some of those opportunities they're going to get. And if they do that, if they can hit those threes tonight, that game five will be extended to six. And if it go to six, you never know what can happen. You know, they have the formula. They beat them already, and they beat them shorthanded. So it could be done. Nothing's impossible, right? Nothing's impossible. So yeah, I'm gonna take another break. I just want to thank you guys for listening. And if you hear anything on the podcast that I might say or something you want to say, go ahead and leave me a message. anchor.fm/Eric Lockhart/message. You have to download the Anchor app to do that, though. So download the Anchor app. Leave a message. Be a part of the show. I definitely want to hear from you. I definitely want to, talk to people about topics. Because I'm not the only one with an opinion. We all have one. Take a quick break. Download the Anchor app. Welcome back. Talking today in sports, your boy E-Lock. Let's talk a little bit NFL. I was just sitting here earlier today when I was going over things I want to talk about on the show. And I was just wondering, like, Major League Baseball had a team, I think it was Florida Marlins, had a bunch of positive COVID tests. And they were able to stretch it out, make them make up games. It's a little easier in baseball to do it because you can do double headers. But, you know, just how they handle the positive test and what the NFL can learn from them to get their season in. Maybe the NFL will have to stretch the season out to adjust for outbreaks like the one Tennessee has. You know, you got 23 people in Tennessee tested positive for COVID. You know, that puts not only last week's game in jeopardy, but this week's game in jeopardy. And they're moving the games back to Monday and Tuesday, and then teams are going to play on another short week. NFL might have to think about start taking those later dates and start moving them back to make room for outbreaks, you know, for something to happen. Because that's a lot of people you're trying to keep contained in different cities across the country, you know, and you don't really know what people are doing in their free time, you know. So if they're not being responsible, if they're not quarantining, even though they don't have it, if they're not, like, going to practice and coming home and just relaxing and chilling, they coming home and, you know, getting dressed and hitting the streets, going out hanging, going to bars, drinking, partying, you know, what people do, normal stuff. But it's not normal these days, so we can't really, you know, so they have to take it upon themselves if they want to get this season done and make their money. They're going to have to really make some sacrifices, which they have, you know. I'm quite sure everybody's making sacrifices. You can't see a lot of friends and family, and you can't go nowhere on your bye week. You got to stay in the city, you know, which might be good for some of these teams. You know, they can get some extra work in, you know. And, you know, speaking, talking about COVID and all that and how the test's supposed to be, it's supposed to be confidential. So I'm just wondering why they had Cam name all over the news, and Cam Newton tested positive for COVID. And, you know, other times when players tested positive, they just say a player has tested positive. They don't put names with the face. You know what I'm saying? They don't put names with it. But with Cam Newton, you know, they made sure they put Cam Newton. And now his teammate, the other superstar on the team, Stephon Gilmore, tested positive for COVID. And, you know, why are they allowed to put those guys' names out there like that? And, you know, let everybody know that they are the ones. I mean, even though if they tested positive, they're going to be on the COVID reserve list or whatever list they have for that. You know, but at the same time, is that fair to Cam Newton that you guys put this business out there like that? Medical stuff is supposed to be private. You know, I mean, I'm glad they did it. You know, I want to know what player on the team tested positive. You know, I think if Cam Newton would have played Monday, I think they would have beat the Chiefs. You know, and then you got Stephon Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes, you know, hugging and chopping it up after the game. Normal stuff. You know, nobody knows who he was going to test positive the next day. So I just hope that Patrick Mahomes stays healthy, you know. You don't want the face of the league to get COVID. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's not good. If he can't play, you know, that's not good for the NFL. I mean, but all in all, I actually think the NFL is handling things pretty well. You know, I don't know what their protocols are and what guidelines the teams have to do, but I do know that there's daily testing, and the test results are usually available the next day. I've heard somebody say something about they were, well, maybe that was in the debate, but anyway, but yeah, so I think the NFL is doing a good job. You know, they went the first, 3 weeks without having a problem, a hiccup at all. So that means people were doing what they were supposed to be doing. The players were doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know. So, you know, the NFL was ready for it. You know, they knew this was going to happen. What they trying to stop is for it to be a pandemic in one organization like the Titans. You know, that's pretty much the whole pandemic. You know, you got 23 people tested positive for COVID. So, yeah, so, you know, it just makes me wonder, like, why they put Cam Newton out there. Maybe they make it a big story, a headline for somebody to talk to. Something for them to talk about, I should say. Yeah. All in all, I just want to see how it was going to go. You know, more and more teams having people test positive. You got the Raiders had a player test positive. Well, it was another team too. I know it was Stephon Gilmore. I don't know if it's more teams that had positive tests or not, but you had those guys test positive. So yeah. You know, I just want to say thank you guys for listening. Who's ever out there listening, I appreciate it. Thanks for your support. Please leave me a message at anchor.fm/EricLockhart/message. You can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave me a message. Share it with me. I want to hear from you. I want to be able to talk back with you about things that we discuss on the show. You know, I can't end a segment or a show. I can't end a show without talking about my Lions. I'm worried a little bit. I'm still optimistic that they can turn it around. And you might say, why am I optimistic? What have they shown me to make me optimistic? Well, the 3 games they lost, they had a double-digit lead. You know, you probably say, how could you be optimistic about that? They had double-digit lead in 3 games, and they lost. Well, my reason for it is they can't play any worse on defense, can they? They can only get better. I'm tired of watching the Lions and watching them wait for things to happen instead of making something happen. So I would like to see the Lions start bringing more pressure, trying to disrupt the timing of their quarterback. Maybe that could lead to some more turnovers. That's what it's going to take. This 4-man rush and drop back into coverage, man-to-man, whatever they do, it ain't working. So if you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, that is called insanity. It ain't working. Let's bring some pressure. Let's start bringing a game and a fight to these other teams. I'm tired of seeing other teams bringing a fight to Lions. The Lions are the king of the jungle. Act like it. Act like it. Be aggressive. Go get them. That's what I want to see. I want to see the Lions just go get after it. Blitz. Bring in 6 players. Not 5. We're going to bring 6. Forget the 4-man rush and bring a linebacker. No, we're going to bring 6. We're going to bring the 4-man rush plus 2. A safety and a linebacker. We don't care. A corner coming off the edge. Something different. I want to see something different out the Lions. The Lions scheme to me is so vanilla. Even on offense. You don't see nothing. You don't see none of the new schemes like the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs sending people in motion, running sweeps and running into rounds, reverses. You know, the trickery, you know, if you got to run trick plays, you don't have an offense really, right? But at the same time, where's the innovation at? They still stuck in 1990. Single back, running, you know. Come on, man. When is it going to change? I'm one of those people that think I'm going to see a Lions championship before I die. And every year I watch them, it makes me think, am I really going to see a Lions championship before I die? Been watching the Lions, man, for a long time. 44 years old now. And it's getting old, you know. I want to see something different. I want to see the Lions rushing the passer with six people on a blitz. Creating havoc. Just being physical. Ndamukong Suh play. Grab the quarterback, act like you're going to rip his fucking head off or something. Something different from the Lions. So and until then, the Lions are going to be the same on Lions. They don't never blitz. And when they do blitz, it's too late and they get burnt on the back end. The player can't get there. You know? And you're like, if we blitz, we're going to leave our corners on the island. Well, they better make it worth it. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to leave them on the island and these players is number one draft picks and first round draft picks and top 10 draft picks, I should say, and they can't create and they can't hold up on the back end, then you need to get somebody in there that can. Every week it's the same scenario. Maybe the Lions need to get behind by 10 points or something. Then you start seeing the best out of them. The Arizona game was close, so you know they had to fight for it. And then you get a 11 point lead on the Packers, and you by halftime you're down. You get a 14-0 lead on the Saints, and they scored 35 unanswered points. That ain't on the offense. That's on the defense. Yeah, the offense could have. They had a chance to take a 21-14 lead, you know, but Stafford threw the interception. Yeah, that's on Stafford. But I see where he was going with that. Yeah, he know he needed to throw that to the back of the end zone, give Hockenson only a chance for that. He understands that. We understand it, but it's not Stafford that I see that's losing the game for the Lions. It's this defense. And our head coach is supposed to be a defensive guy. What has he shown us in the 3 years that he's been there that he's a defensive guy? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And when he came to Detroit, he knew it was a lot of work to do. Well, when you came to Detroit, they had 2 years of 9-7. And the year before that, they were, 10-6. And made it to the playoffs. Had a chance to win a division for the first time in who knows how many years. But they didn't win. And then they went on the road and they lost the playoff game to the Cowboys because of pass interference that they decided that they didn't have to call. So what was Jim Caldwell doing that they thought Matt Patricia was going to do? Well, oh yeah, Jim Caldwell was winning. I can't remember his record off the top of my head. I didn't do the research on it before I start talking about this. This is a rant off the top of my head. But Jim Caldwell had a winning record with the Lions. Took him to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. But that wasn't good enough. What I would like to see the Lions do is adapt the Pittsburgh Steelers philosophy. Let's get somebody in here young that knows how to coach. Not just because he's young. Somebody that's young that knows how to coach. That's going to be innovative. It's going to bring a new scheme and bring a change to the Lions. And let's give them 5 years. Let's give them 5 years to figure it out. Let's give them 5 years. You can't do any worse than what you're doing right now with Patricia. You bring somebody in there. Here go the keys. Here go the keys to the car. Drive it. And you know what? I'm gonna give you the chance and the opportunity to turn this thing around. I'm not gonna say you got 3 years to do it. I'm not gonna say you have 5 years to do it. I'm gonna say I'm putting the keys to my organization in your hands. And you're going to run it. Now, my expectations for you is to win. My expectation is to win. We're not going to settle for mediocrity, however you say the word. We're not going to settle for that. You have the pieces in place to win and to win now. So what I'm asking you to do is to win and to have continued success. Yes, you don't have to win the Super Bowl every year, but you have to be in a playoff hunt every single year. Mike Tomlin has been in a playoff hunt every single year. The man has not had a losing record with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, he hasn't won every year. 8-8 is the worst he's been. 8-8. I don't even know how long I don't know how long my time has been there right now. But the thing I love about the Pittsburgh Steelers is the fact that they've only had three coaches in their entire existence of being in the NFL. And they are successful. You don't have to fire your coach every 3 years because you didn't make the playoffs or because you didn't win the Super Bowl. You need to give them the chance to build it and to try to be consistent. Be a consistent winner. That's why we love the Lions. They were consistent. When I first started watching football, the Lions had the longest streak of making the playoffs. Yeah, it wasn't, man, they didn't win any games, but they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs. And every 3 years, we scrapping the new coach, bringing a new system, new offense coordinator, new defense coordinator. Of course, you're going to struggle. Let's give somebody a chance to run the organization. Whether that's Matt Patricia, I don't know. From what I've seen, I would have to say no. But at the same time, I would like to see somebody stay. I don't want to see them decide to pick up and move on from another coach. Give them a chance. Okay, this is your third year. Right now, the third year ain't starting off so hot. You're 1-3. So you have plenty of time to turn it around. You could turn it around right now. If you win, you got 12 games left. If you win 9 of those 12 games, that puts you at 10-6. The chances of that happening are unrealistic. It probably won't happen. But they have to believe that they can turn this thing around. And with belief, you can achieve, right? If you believe you can do it, you can do it. You just got to put in the work and effort to do it. Thanks again, guys, for listening to me rant on about my Lions. Certain things I'm more passionate about than others. I get a little up for it. But if you want to leave me a message, anchor.fm/Eric Lockhart/message. Leave me a message, please. I love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening to the show. It's your boy, E-Lock. Peace out.